Out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. As I continue to preach for a few more days, the church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line, part 35, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, part 89. The tornadoes last night in Dallas did not care whether you were black or white, or red or yellow. God does not care whether you're black or white or red or yellow, and we ought not to care. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. As I read this powerful passage, think about it in your heart. Are there people that you hate? Is there a family member that you hate, you despise? In fact, you hate the idea of going back home for Thanksgiving because you hate somebody in your family. Is there somebody in your city that you hate? A council seat member? Is there somebody in politics that you hate? I am a more conservative Christian sort of fellow, but I don't hate the Democrats. I don't hate the liberals. I pray for them, but I don't hate anybody. Do you hate a political figure? Do you hate President Trump? Do you hate President Obama? Do you hate President George Bush to this day? I was just blown away and shocked that Ellen and President George W. Bush got a whole lot of hate mail because they sat beside each other at a football game. Now, I'm not for homosexuality and lesbianism because God is not for it. But we don't have to hate Ellen because she's in that sin. We don't have to hate President George Bush because he's trying to love all people. We got some sick, hateful people in this world. How dare you sit beside George W. Bush? He's got blood on his hands. How dare you sit beside that lesbian, George W. Bush? She's destroying our country. Do you hate people? Do you hate whole groups of people? You hate white folks? You hate black folks? You hate brown folk? And I my dear brown brothers and sisters, in the state of Texas, I love to see them. I love to see them right in the mix. And just right in there with us. I was in a store recently, and mostly whites, and then there was an older a Mexican man, an older Mexican lady, and they were getting their groceries too, and I was the only black person in the store, but we were all right there together. I love to see them. He that loveth not knoweth not God. You just don't know God. For God is love. He is walking love, if you will. He's love all over the place. We're so hateful and so narrow-minded that we can't even get our heads around that kind of love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And we are very unlovable, by the way, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's love for you. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, watch this, and he in us. That's to all you haters out there, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. In short, what this means to you is that if you don't love people, then God is not in you. If you have hatred in your heart towards other human beings, then you have probably not been born again. God is not in you, and you're not in God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If you do love God, it's because he first loved you, and you know it. And he put that love in your heart for him, as well as for others. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Only the Holy Spirit can put it together like that. Very simple, but very powerful. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother, and that means his sister or her sister also. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for bringing out to us and showing to us very clearly what should prove whether or not we have been saved, whether or not we have been born again. If we have hatred in our hearts towards anybody, it is highly likely we have never been born again, we have never been saved, and we don't even know you, and you are not in us, as your holy word has stated. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you would open the eyes of the blind tonight, unstop deaf ears. Lord, we pray that you would help those who are deluded and deceived, thinking that they can hate white folks or hate black folks and still be saved and born again and say that they know you and that they're right with you. Lord, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And for Jesus Christ's sake, as Christians, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. And Lord, we pray for those who are deceived. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. Lord, we pray tonight that you would empty us of ourselves, crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Again, Lord, thank you for bringing all of us through a devastating storm here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I believe with all of my heart it is because you have many people here who are truly saved and who prayed. And that's why nobody died and only three people went to the hospital. And so, Lord, thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. And I pray that you will continue to protect us during these volatile times, perilous times. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will cast out the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people who have that issue. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit, and we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Sinclair Ferguson said, if Christ is not ashamed to indwell them, that is other people, I will not be slow to embrace them. If Christ is not ashamed to indwell in saved human beings, be they black, white, red, or yellow, or brown, I will not be slow to love them and embrace them. And I think that we ought to be like Mr. Sinclair about that. Who are we to separate ourselves from brothers and sisters in Christ who are different than we are when Jesus has not only embraced them but indwells them? So, beloved, let us continue at this point at the how, what this passage says about the love of God and how we should love others. I want you to notice with me, and I may not get to all of them, three points from this passage. We've already had an extensive introduction to this powerful passage of love. And from this passage, I want you to notice first, love is of God, and God is love. In other words, love comes from God. This does not mean that love is God, but rather that God is the personification of love. In other words, he is love walking. Jesus walks. God defines love, not us. Love is not a human emotion as we think. It comes from God. Agape love. We have the capacity to love because God created us in his image. In fact, this passage tells us that anyone who loves is of God. This is because true love comes only from God, not from human beings, not from humanity. The ultimate show of God's love was, of course, the sending of Jesus Christ to die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, to save us from the hell that we deserve. The Spirit of God will naturally foster love in those he dwells in. And that is the key point. Is God dwelling in you through Christ? Through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit? Then it may not be easy to love. That's why Martin Luther King Jr. asked God for strength to love. But you do have the capacity and the power to love, to choose to love wicked, sinful human beings as our Heavenly Father does, starting right there in your home, right there in your family. May God deliver us from people who love everybody but their own family members. They love everybody on their job, and they go to their job lying to people, saying, "I tell you what, you all are really my family." No, you all are the ones who helped me get my paycheck. That's what this is all about. So, y'all more my family than my family. You lie, your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. You're just a hypocrite. You're phony. God does not dwell in you. For charity must begin at home. May God deliver us from people who love everybody in the greater church, but they don't love the church at home. See, we're not dealing with just racism and prejudice, man. We're dealing with whether or not God dwells in you. See, what we do is we love to hide behind the issue of racism. Oh, we love talking about that. Because we think we're doing some real good righteous work. We We think we're doing big stuff when we're talking about hatred among the races, and we like to sit with our legs crossed and look all pompous and talk about solutions to the race problem that people have been talking about for the past 200 years. And it will never be resolved without Christ in the heart. Remember now, it was the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that changed the game regarding racism in this country, led by two prophets, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Dr. Billy Graham. Not the world. The world was against it, and the worldly so-called Christians were against it. But the true church stood strong and made a change and a difference that we're still feeling to this day. For example, my generation, from 1960 on, I was born in 1960. I don't know what it's like to not be able to stay in a hotel that I want to stay in. I don't know what it's like for somebody to tell me to go to the back. I don't know what it's like to see a sign that says white and colored. God did that through love and through his church and through his prophets. Not the world, not the presidents, but the prophets. And don't you ever forget that. It was the love of God who heard the cries of the slaves, of the Jim Crow crowd, and the segregated crowd, heard the cries, and God raised up a man, a modern-day prophet, that shook this nation up to its core and changed it. Not a president, a prophet, who prayed to God for strength to love white folks who were throwing rocks at him, for Judases like the black woman who stabbed him. He prayed for white folks and strength to love white folks who were trying to kill him at every turn, bombing his house. The love of God raised up a man to show love. Was he perfect? No. Was Billy Graham perfect? No. But God used them to change this nation and the world permanently by the grace of God and by the love of God. And all God wants you to do is change the atmosphere in your family. Sir, ma'am, teenager, you claim to be a Christian. You throw up your unholy hands shouting and dancing in church on Sunday mornings. You are friends with everybody. You talk to everybody else's parents, but you don't talk to your own. You talk to everybody else's wife but your own, sir. Ma'am, you talk to everybody else's husband about to fall down, laughing at every little stupid thing they say, but you can't laugh anymore at your husband's jokes. In fact, you don't want to talk with him anymore. You have hatred, family members, in your heart towards family members, but you love everybody else in the community. You're fighting for every cause. You're walking and you're marching, and Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter. Anytime the church has something, you go running even though your husband needs you. Your children need you. Oh, I got to go and serve the Lord today. Pastor wants me to go do, but you don't. You're not practicing love and charity at your house. Your dishes are dirty. Your house is not clean. I can't get no amen's lights. Amen lights. Your house is not clean. Your children got snotty noses. You just dumped them so because the pastor said that he wants y'all at the church to cook him some food and do this and that and the other. And your husband and children are starving. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. We're going to pray in a minute. Where's your love at? Does God dwell in you at home or just at the church? Just at the city council meeting? Just on the job? No, in fact, you are a Judas to your own family. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the essence of God's being is love. And all his works are brought forth out of that love. That love. Alongside traits like holiness and omnipotence, love is the essential characteristic of God. Do you know him as your Savior? Does God dwell in you for real? Did you examine yourself, like I told you to do at the beginning of this message, and see and check your heart out and see if you hate somebody? We're not talking about lies now. Tell the truth. Are there people you hate? Are there individuals you hate in your family? Let's just start with your family. Are there people that right now you're thinking about, oh no, I got to go home for Thanksgiving and I got a family member that I just hate. I can't stand them. Let's start at your church. Are there people you hate at your church? Are there people you hate in your community? Are there a group of people? Or rather, is there a group of people that you hate? You need to examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. God is not dwelling in you if you hate folk. I don't care what you say, God is not dwelling in you if you hate people, starting with your own family. Have you ever seen these couples who they're smiling and grinning and putting cake in each other's mouth at the wedding and they just love each other so much, and then just 5 years later they hate each other's guts, can't speak peaceably to them? Got to have folks and to go in between them and talk to them about their divorce. They hate each other that much. There's something wrong somewhere. God is not dwelling in you if you have that kind of hatred in your heart. So the question is, are you born again tonight? If you were to die tonight, where would you go, heaven or hell, with that kind of hatred in your heart? Have you been born again? Now, if you are a Christian and you know that you're saved and you're with us tonight, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. See, if you're saved tonight at this kind of preaching, you will be under conviction about slipping and letting hate get in your heart. You already know what your sins are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost. Now back to you, dear friend, where your heart is filled with hatred and bitterness and resentment. You can't stand certain people. You need to be saved. Are you willing to be saved tonight? Are you willing to admit your sin and your sinfulness? Are you willing to repent of your hatred and your other sins and trust Christ as Savior? So if you're with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. So have I, and so has the Pope. Even the Dalai Lama admitted he has sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. There is a punishment for the sin of hatred. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We all die physically. Our bodies go to a grave, and if you are not saved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior in this life, and this is a very serious point that people don't take heed to, you will go to that awful place called hell and spend eternity. It is my job to warn you of that. I'm not smiling about that. I am not joking with you. That's a very serious matter. To hell you will go if you don't trust Christ as Savior in this life. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you don't have to commit any more sins. You have committed enough. And you are on your way to a devil's hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. And it's going on right now tonight. Hell is a place, even though there is fire, hell is a place of utter darkness. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of pain. So if you don't repent of your sins now and trust Christ as Savior today, you will go to that awful place called hell. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live a life of sin and hatred and bitterness. You can trust Christ as Savior. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you. so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the hell that we all deserve. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. It's a very simple prayer that God will hear if you pray it in faith, believing on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I've shown hatred to many people. I have broken your other 10 commandments. For I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I've dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've lusted after and coveted after people and things before in my heart. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life, my hate-filled life, and help me to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I pray, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send to you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.